Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, for anybody that wasn't with us last week we talked about the importance of forgiveness. And we shared the way that forgiveness really is something that too many of us go without. Like, we've all been hurt. We've all experienced that pain inside of ourselves, the resentment that can build, maybe the bitterness that builds as we hold on to the things that have gone wrong in our lives. And so last week we talked about the fact that scientifically, when we don't forgive people, we are actually physically damaging ourselves. That it causes mental issues, that it causes the same kind of toxin buildups in our bodies as sustained levels of stress in our lives can also bring about. And so we came to the conclusion that it's very important for our sakes, for the sakes of those that are around us that we care about, and even from the perspective of receiving forgiveness from God, that we need to be willing to forgive others. Giving people forgiveness, letting go of our hurts. This week, we're going to be looking at the next step in forgiveness, not just why we should forgive, but what is it? What actually is forgiveness? You know, I find in Canada, it's very common when somebody does something to us and then they apologize, we say, it's okay, or it's all good. Have you ever seen that? It drives me up the wall. Like, one of my kids will push the other kid, and you can't do that. Tell them sorry. So they, oh yeah, it's all good. It's okay. I just said, I'm like, it's not okay. They pushed you. They called you a name. Like, can we just say, I forgive you? You know, have you experienced that? Where instead of saying, I forgive you, you're like, it's all right. Now, sure, I can see that, you know, if you bump shoulders with someone when you're walking down the street and they say sorry because we're all Canadian, if you don't then turn around and instinctively say sorry back, maybe you do say it's all right or it's no problem. No big deal. But if somebody has hurt you deeply, maybe even maliciously, why do we say it's okay when it's not? Or have you ever seen this, witnessed this, maybe even experienced this, where a battered woman who ends up feeling like she has to go home to where she's being physically or mentally abused because she's forgiven her husband? Or she's in the process of forgiving him. And if I'm forgiving him, then surely I need to go back to him. You know, I got to reconcile with him. Or on the flip side, I've seen people who refuse to forgive someone else because they think that if they forgive someone, it's going to validate what that person did. It's going to say that was okay. It wasn't that big of a deal. You know, no problem. Or they think it's going to let that person go without consequences. If I forgive them, then I got to let them off the hook. If I forgive them, then if it's something really big, maybe I can't press charges. Or how about this? I know I've been here. Have you ever told someone that you forgive them? Or have determined, yeah, I've forgiven that person, only to realize later on that you haven't? You know what I mean? You meet them in the street and all of a sudden you're like, "Arr!" Somebody starts talking about them and you just about fall over sideways and you're like, that person. You realize that you actually haven't forgiven. Fact of the matter is that the forgiveness is by no means a simple topic. We make it seem easy. You know, we have these nice little exchanges that we have. I'm sorry, okay, well, I forgive you. But is that really forgiveness? Is saying some words forgiveness? And does forgiveness instantly mean that we give up all right to any kind of justice? Or that we give up any kind of right to protecting ourselves? What really is forgiveness? I believe that there is hope for us as we try to find out what forgiveness is, as we examine the Bible. The Bible is God's words to us. It's Him telling us what His design for creation is. It's Him telling us how much He loves us. It's Him going back to the beginning and saying, this is how I made things, and this is what I've done to bring you back to Me. Because I love you. Because I desire for you to live in a way that I've designed you to live. Can you do this? Will you do this? And so as we read God's word, as we look for these principles in His word about forgiveness, I believe that we can begin to understand forgiveness better and move toward health and wholeness. Will you all join me in bowing your heads and closing your eyes today? I just want to start off with a word of prayer. Lord God, I just thank You today that we're able to come before You and that we're able to lift up to You an offering of our time and attention, Lord. And God, wherever each one of us in this room is at here today, maybe we're harboring some hurt, some bitterness, some resentment, some pain in our lives right now. Maybe it's something from a long time ago or it's something from recently, God. You can see right into our lives, right into our hearts, right into our minds. And You know what's going on. And so right now, Lord God, as You examine us, as You look at us, will You begin to stir in us a desire to forgive? Will You help us to receive the confirmation from You that yes, this here, this is the next step forward? God, I ask that as I speak today that You'll take these feeble human words and that You'll make them something worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I think one of the big things that we need to clear up are some of the things that forgiveness doesn't mean. Right? A lot of us have some really interesting ideas about what forgiveness is, about what it entails. And so let's just dive in right now, right here, and let's talk about what forgiving doesn't mean. Forgiveness does not mean approving of what someone did to you. Have you ever kind of felt that way? If I forgive this person, then I've approved of that thing that they did? But I mean, this isn't the attitude that Jesus took. Jesus is on the cross. He's been wrongfully accused. He has been brutally tortured. And now He's been nailed to this rough-hewn cross. And we see in Luke 23, Jesus said, speaking to those that have put Him on the cross, those that are gambling over His clothing, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Now, I'm pretty sure that as Jesus is nailed to the cross here by these people that have malicious intent, He's not going, "Way to go, guys, that's great. I really, really, really am enjoying my time here right now." No, He's not approving of it, but He loves them and He forgives them. Forgiveness does not mean approving of what someone did to you. Forgiveness also doesn't mean pretending that an offense hasn't taken place. Doesn't mean pretending that an offense has not taken place. It's all good. I don't know what you're talking about. We hear this thing, right? Forgive and forget. You got to forgive and forget. I think that God can forgive and forget. I don't know that we can forgive and forget. We can move on. But to say, "I forgave that person, and so now I just got to pretend they didn't do what they did?" Come on. Forgiveness doesn't mean making excuses for another person's bad behavior. Don't do it. Don't do it. If they're beating you, don't do it. "Oh, well, they had a rough childhood growing up, and so they're just passing it on to me. It's okay." No, it's not. Okay? If they stole from you, "Oh yeah, well they really needed the money," but that doesn't excuse the behavior. So forgiving someone doesn't mean that you make excuses for bad behavior and say the bad behavior is okay. Forgiveness also doesn't mean restoring a relationship when it's not safe to do so. Okay? if it's not safe where you're at, you can forgive someone for the things that they've done to you without running back into an abusive or painful or manipulative relationship. Don't feel like you can't forgive because you'd have to go back. Don't feel like now that you have forgiven, you have to go back. If it's not safe to do so, then don't. Forgiveness also doesn't mean telling the person you forgive them before they're ready to hear it or before you're ready to say it. Have any of you had the experience of either you or somebody else going up to another person and just being like, "So I just wanted to let you know that 10 years ago you did this thing that really, really hurt me. I just wanted to let you know that I forgive you." Does that ever go over well? Like, ever? No, because they half the time they don't even know that they've done something. They're past it and they're like, "Whoa, you've held on to what for 10 years? Or sorry, you thought what?" I mean, it just stirs things up. They're not ready to hear that. They didn't need to hear it. You needed to deal with that in yourself, right? But on the flip side, if someone comes up to you and they're like, "I am so sorry for punching you in the nose yesterday. Can you forgive me?" Listen, if you're still going through the process and the first thing on your mind is, "I want to punch them in the nose," don't go, "It's okay, I forgive you." Because obviously you don't. Okay, so forgiveness doesn't mean telling somebody you forgive them when they don't need to hear it. And it's not you telling someone you forgive them when you're not ready to say it. Don't lie, basically. So, well, forgiveness is not canceling negative consequences. It's not canceling negative consequences. Now, some of you might be thinking, "But Pastor Stephen, you referred to Jesus earlier, and Jesus kind of does cancel negative consequences. You know, he went to the cross, he died for me, and now if I put my trust in Jesus, then Pastor, you just finished talking about this during communion, and you talked about it last week, that he then takes me out of my brokenness, that he forgives me, and that he begins to heal me and bring me into wholeness and usher me into the design that God always had for me. And so doesn't he cancel negative consequences?" Well, the first thing I want to point out is you're not God. Okay. Second thing I want to point out is that there are, in fact, still natural consequences that occur as a result of the things that we do. Okay. So if you're going around and you've got a lot of partners, that's as far as I'm going to put it with the people in the room right now, then you may run to God and say, "God, will you forgive me?" But there's still the possibility, a heightened possibility, of a natural consequence like an STI. And God sometimes lets us have to deal with those types of things, right? He says, "Yeah, I forgive you. I love you. But listen, I made the world in a certain way, and it's a broken world, and it's a shame, but there's a reason why I say don't do these things," right? If you lie to people habitually, and then you come before God and you get down on your knees and you're like, "God, I'm so sorry, will you forgive me?" And you turn from it. You know what? There's still natural consequences that you may find you come up against because of your lifestyle of habitual lying. Okay? If you're a serial killer, you can end up in jail and find Jesus and God forgives you. But guess what? He's not going to then go and say, "You know what, warden, you should let him out of jail." No, there's natural consequences. You've been put in jail. If you're in the States, depending on the states, you may be on death row. So there's natural consequences that do still happen. And so just because you go and you're like, "I forgive this person," it doesn't mean that you're getting rid of negative consequences. It doesn't mean that they're going to get off scot-free. Sometimes I know it can feel that way because we think that by holding on to our anger and our hurt, that somehow we're actually getting back at the person that hurt us. Right? Have you ever seen that? Like, I just got to hold on to this, because as long as I'm angry at them, then someone is paying them back. Who does that hurt? Talked about this last week. It just hurts me. It just hurts me to hold on to these things. So maybe we just need to let it go. And finally, forgiving is not trusting when reliable behavior on their part is absent. Forgiveness and trust are separate issues. We can come to a place of forgiving someone and still recognize that they are not to be trusted. Okay, forgiveness is something that we can do without the other person taking any kind of action. But trust requires them to turn around for an extended period of time until we come to the place where we say, yes, you are a trustworthy person. And so don't feel like you can't forgive someone because you don't trust them. And don't feel like if you forgive someone, then suddenly you have to treat them as if you trust them implicitly. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. So what is forgiveness? We're going to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 17 here. Luke chapter 17. If you have a mobile device with you and you'd like to follow along and take notes, I know I should have done this earlier because we've done a bunch of notes, but you can go to ascc.life and tap on the message notes tile there and follow along with us. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is difficult. If you think that forgiveness is just some easy thing, that you're just going to say the words and everything is going to get better, then you're probably wrong. Because forgiveness isn't easy. It's not. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus is sitting there talking to his followers, to his disciples or apostles about forgiveness. And he says, listen, if a person sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And then listen to this. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. What do you think they're saying there? They hear this thing. If somebody does something seven times in a day, forgive them seven times in the day. And they're like, God, we can't. If you want us to do this, you'd better give us something extra because this is beyond us. Nobody can go around and be like, I forgive you. Oh, you did it again. I forgive it. No, oh, you did it again. I forgive you again. Who's going to do that, Lord? Increase our faith. Give us more. We need more. So Jesus offers some hope in the midst of the difficulty of forgiveness. He carries on, the Lord answered, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? You may not have because they're that small. They're just these tiny little things. He says, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No, he says, prepare my meal, put on your apron and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. See, Jesus says it only takes the smallest amount of faith in him for his followers to do as they are commanded. And that includes forgiveness. He commands it. He says, forgive. Remember last week we actually talked about and showed a passage where Jesus says, you know, if you don't forgive, then your heavenly Father will what? Not forgive you. But if you do forgive, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. Because it's inconsistent with the character of someone that has been transformed by God to say, no, I'm not forgiving. Forgiveness is difficult. God knows that. He says it only takes a little bit of faith. And you can do it. It's what I've commanded you to do. Listen, if you're following me, you're like a servant. And a servant doesn't need to ask, well, this seems difficult, or this seems challenging, or this doesn't seem comforting. The servant just does what he knows that he needs to do in service of his master. And Jesus says, listen, if you'll just obey and serve with that little bit of faith, knowing that I can do anything, you can forgive. you can forgive. See, our God is bigger than our pain. He's bigger than our hurt, than our anger, our resentment, and our bitterness. But we also need to recognize that forgiveness is not a one and done. It's not a one and done. See, forgiveness is a process of actions. It's not an event. Forgiveness is a process of actions. It's not an event. Merely saying to yourself, I forgive so-and-so, how many of you have found that that really works really well? Nobody. No. What that is you making a choice and finding your starting point and saying, I'm going to forgive this person because I know that it's right. I'm going to go on this journey to bring forgiveness to this person, to release these hurts from my heart. But listen, that choice usually provides no relief from the hurt. It usually doesn't get the offender out of your mind. And you usually continue to go over the offense. It replays. And the reason for this is a misunderstanding of what forgiveness is and how it works. A misunderstanding. See, Jesus actually continues on in his disciples' lesson in forgiveness. I find it's so interesting. You know, oftentimes we take these sections of biblical passages of scripture and we kind of chop them up, right? We have these nice little headings that we add in everywhere and we think, okay, because there's a new heading, we're on to a new topic. But see, Jesus has just finished talking to his apostles, to his followers, about forgiveness, about the faith that they need for forgiveness, about obeying him and the forgiveness that they are able to give because of that. And then we come to verse 11 and we read this. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. See, Jesus, his followers would follow him around everywhere. They ate together. They would sleep in the same house together. They would be taught by him. They would try to mimic him. And so there they are. They start off the day and he's teaching them about forgiveness. And they're like, this is hard. And so he starts to teach them about obeying anyway. And then as they're walking down the street, now I believe in the realm of the kingdom, there are no coincidences. As they're walking down the street, he just so happens to run into 10 lepers. Just so happens. And we go, cool, we're on to a new section of the story. We're talking about healing now. But are we? Are we on to something completely different? Because there's this key phrase here that I think is so applicable for us, and it's this. As they went. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. When we want God to do something, what do? We lay hands on people, we pray for them, and then we go, it didn't happen. I guess that's that. Nothing today. We sit there and we're praying for the situation that we're in, and it just didn't happen today. Guess it's done. We want instant, right? We want it now. When we pray, we want healing. When we pray, we want blessing. When we pray, we want faith. But sometimes there's a process involved, a process of obedience. And so we see Jesus, he doesn't heal these lepers right away. He says, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now I want you to consider something here. According to Jewish law, you would go to see the priest to prove that you were clean, that you no longer had leprosy, this flesh-eating disease. But you didn't go to the priest until you were healed. Okay, if you were feeling better, you were looking better, then you went to the priest and the priest looked you over and said, okay, yeah, you're good to go. But instead, Jesus says, listen, I know that you still have leprosy, but go and show yourselves to the priest. And so they do. They go in obedience with faith. And what happens? As they went, they're healed. Healed. Their healing was a process as a result of their faithful obedience. Now you tell me that Jesus wasn't using these 10 lepers' faithful obedience as they went along to teach his disciples, who were all freaking out because they were told they'd have to forgive people, a little bit about faith. A little bit about the fact that sometimes we got to be walking along the way before we find forgiveness. Or should I say before forgiveness comes out of us. So friends, today we find ourselves at a crossroads. Because we can continue to victimize ourselves and destroy ourselves by holding on to everything. That could be what we choose to do. Sometimes it can feel really good to just be like, just by holding on to this grudge right now, I am hurting them so bad. They're clueless. They have no idea that you actually hold this grudge, but you know, you're hurting them so bad. So you can do that and destroy yourself, or you can set out on a potentially long and challenging process of forgiveness, hopefully finding healing and wholeness at the end of the journey. I want to share with you the story in just a moment of Sarah, someone who had to come to a place of forgiveness before she was ready to actually find wholeness and health. You guys run this video?
On June 9th of 1997, it was a Monday, between 4 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Got off early that day, and I used to love going down to the bluffs over the Mississippi River. Decided to sunbathe, laying on a towel. And you know, when you've had your eyes closed and it's a really sunny day and you first open them, it takes your eyes a while to adjust. All I could see in front of me as my eyes slowly adjusted was the figure of a man, his shadow over the top of me. He'd been stalking me. He had a mask on. That was the only thing that he was wearing. I mean, the next thing I knew, he was on top of me. And I screamed, and he wasn't expecting that. He tried to run, and I'm not sure why to this day, but I decided to chase him. I turned into that girl that runs up the stairs instead of out the front door in those movies where you're like, go out the front door. That's when I realized I could die. I turned and ran, and I went in the opposite direction. I like to say that I survived that day, but that day was the beginning of a slow, long death. I think that I wanted to be living, but I knew that I wasn't. It was kind of this thing that my family didn't talk about. You know, 6 months later, I was called in for a lineup, and I mean, it was something that didn't necessarily go away right away, but it wasn't discussed. And because of my lack of support system and family, I was left to fend for myself. And I had a lot of anger and bitterness. And I was suicidal. And as the drinking got worse to cope, or the drugs got worse, the more desperately I wanted to be free of all of that. And I got to the point where I realized I didn't want to die. I just didn't want to hurt anymore. I was ready to be free, and I made a decision to forgive. Not just forgiving him, but forgiving my parents, and even better, forgiving myself for a lot of things. And when I chose to let go of that pain and that bitterness and that anger and that frustration, I got something far greater in return. You can't buy, you can't box. Freedom. God restores and he redeems, and in a very tangible way blotted out that day with something so much greater. Last year, on June 10th, I gave birth to my twin boys, Bennett and Avery, on a Monday as well, between 4 and 5 in the afternoon. So it was almost exactly 17 years later. I don't think the timing was an accident. That date and that day and that hour, they used to own me. Not anymore. Something else owns me now. Two little people. And I love it. But I also love what God has created. Something so beautiful out of something so ugly. It just blows me away on a daily basis. I love it.
God has great things in store for us if we can just find it in ourselves to forgive, to begin the process of letting go. He's the great redeemer. He's the great forgiver. And so whether you can't forgive yourself or you can't forgive someone else, you should know that it's just faith like a mustard seed that you need to begin to forgive. Next week, we're going to get to really what I'm sure is what all of you have actually been waiting for, which is the process that we can take to begin to forgive others, to begin to let go. It's a process that has helped me in the past a few times here. It's a process that's helped many others, and I believe that it can help you too. So I hope that you'll join us again next week for that. But here's what I want you to do this week. Having thought of those who you need to forgive last week, and if you didn't do that, then I encourage you, spend some time this week just asking the Holy Spirit who he has for you to forgive. This week, in your heart, commit to forgive them. Take that step and say, I'm ready to start the process of letting go. Finding healing, forgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much today for every person who's hearing this message, whether it's online or in this room, and is being impacted for you. And is thinking to themselves, I need to forgive. Lord, will you give us the strength to overcome that resentment and that bitterness and that hurt? Will you help us to recognize our need to forgive, and help us to persevere in the process of forgiving others as you've forgiven us? That's the marvelous thing, Lord God, is that you're only asking us to do what you've already done for us. You're saying, I've forgiven you. If you place your trust in me, just follow me. I forgive you of all that you've done that runs counter to how I created you. I forgive you of all the brokenness that you've caused yourself and others and even the heart of God. Just forgive others. And so maybe in this room right now, there's someone here and you're like, Pastor Stephen, it's not so much that forgiveness is something that I need to give right now, but I need God to forgive me. I need to serve this Jesus. And so if that's you in this room right now or online, I just want to encourage you right now to pray a prayer with me, committing your heart to God. Will you just, all around this room, will you just follow with me in this prayer? And if you pray it from your heart today for the first time, know that you are committing your life to Jesus. Pray this, Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the consequences of that sin. But I trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Master and my Savior. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross and the way that it paid for my sin. Thank you for your resurrection the way that it proves that I have victory. Help me not to live how I once lived. From this time forward, through your power in me, to live a new life that honors you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer today, I encourage you to fill out that blue card in the seat back in front of you that says, I have decided. If you're online right now on Facebook, feel free to go to Messenger and just message the church. And we want to make sure that you get a Bible and resources in your hands that we can help you along this journey on the next step and get you plugged into a community somewhere, whether it's our church or another church, because we believe that this is not a journey that we do alone, but it's something that God has created us to be in community as we go through.